We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what they call the 44th chapter, the 10th Pasuk. The Navi has been attacking the pagan ways. Mi yatzar elu fesel nasach. Who can think that they will form a god? I'll form an idol. I will melt metal into a shape and then say, that's my god. Levilti ho'il. Don't you understand? It's pointless. It's useless. You'll get nothing out of it. Hein kol chaverav yevoshu v'charashim heima me'adam. Hein kol chaverav. All the friends of such a person would be shamed, says Yeshaya. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is Hein kol chaverav, all those who befriend the idol. All those over here, then the word chaverav would be, mean from the word chibur, those that attach themselves to this idol, yevoshu, will find themselves shamed. And here we're going with Rashi's understanding, they will gain nothing from it. V'charashim heima me'adam. V'charashim. They are skilled workers, and they are mere humans. So how is it logical that a mere human will create God? V'charashim heima, and these skilled workers who can make a beautiful figure, me'adam, but they are one of man. Yitkabitzu hulam yamodu yifchadu yevoshu yachad. If you gather the workers with the pagans and they stand together and they ask themselves, does this make sense? Then they'll have to recognize that they have a lot to be scared of. They'll be embarrassed that the laborers for creating the idol, the worshippers for worshipping the idols, they have to recognize that I'm running the show, says Hashem, and then they should be scared of what they're doing. The Navi over here is, in passing, also rebuking the merchants, the laborers, those that form the idols. And unfortunately, our tradition is that the Jewish people were actually great exporters of idols. This was a thriving business in Israel at the time. People were not only worshipping the idols, they were also exporting the idols. Yes?
Aside from the Navi, is that actually forbidden to sell an idol in Ruba?
Yeah. Why aside from Lifnei Iver, I'm saying?
Because you're not using it.
Okay, but Lifnei Iver, I'm not allowed to. Aside from which, I'm not allowed to benefit from an idol.
Mm-hmm. When you're selling it, it's not an idol.
Okay, it says you're not allowed to make an idol. Lotasuniti, you're not allowed to make, even if you're not worshipping, even if you're just selling to others. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Lotasun, it says don't make.
For yourself.
No. So Chazal darshan the other way. Even if it's not for yourself. Charash barzel ma'atzad. Charash barzel. The Navi is describing in detail how they would make the idols. So the ones who want to make metal idols, so they initially make a ma'atzad. They bring a tool. The ma'atzad is a tool that was used to fashion the metals. So charash barzel ma'atzad, the blacksmith, I guess, charash barzel, he calls it the worker of metal, ma'atzad, he takes this instrument called the ma'atzad to fashion the metal. Ufa'al bapecham, and he works with the coals to shape the metal. Uvamakavot yitzereyu, and then he bangs it up with his hammer to form the idol. Vayifaleyu bizroa kocho, and he shapes the idol with the might of his own arm. Gamra'ev ve'ein koach, lo shata mayim vayi'af, And even as he's hungry, he's working hard. He doesn't take a break to eat. He's running out of strength. He doesn't stop to take a drink. He's doing this, he's working so hard because in his zeal for making this creature, this idol, he ignores his own needs. He's making an idol. Yes?
Is there an implication that if the thing that's making the idol gets hungry and thirsty and tired and all this, and how is the thing that's being made going to be any better?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. For sure. So he says, yeah. That's exactly the implication, what you're saying now. That the implication is the maker, the one who has the strength to fashion the idol, runs out of strength and he gets tired and thirsty. Certainly the thing he's making. Yes. Is Charash etzim natakav. So he finishes the metal work. So then he starts the wooden parts of the idol and he draws a straight line. Yitarehu vasered. He shapes it. He gives it its... He draws the shape he's going to make. Basered. Sered is a type of color. So yitarehu vasered. He uses the sered, this coloring, in order to draw its form. Something like that, yeah. Yeah, so he draws himself a sign of where he's going to cut, right? Ya'aseyu b'maktsuot. And then he uses a vessel called maktsuot, which is some kind of... Maybe it's called an anvil, I don't know, that you peel wood with.
A chisel,
some kind of chisel or plane, right. That's maktsuot. Uva mechuga yeta orehu. He also uses an instrument that makes circles. That's why it's called mechuga. The word chag means circle. On holidays, they used to dance in circles, so it was called chag.
That's the most important part of the holiday. That's where the holiday gets its name from, that they dance in circles?
Maybe.
I think other parts are more significant.
Maybe. Okay, so it's a good thing you came this morning. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm very bothered when people go to weddings and they dance in non-Jewish ways. Everyone's doing the moves to show themselves. No, there's a Jewish concept of dancing in a circle. There's strength that people get when they dance in a circle. When you're part of a circle. What?
It's someone with a very weak body. Like when you're dancing in a circle, like you don't lose strength. Like when you're dancing lines, you lose strength really fast.
Yeah.
When it becomes wild in the circle, then I like to go a little bit on the side of the dance for myself. But I go to dance in the circle, you're right. But sometimes it becomes wild.
Yeah.
That's the energy.
So that the word mechuga is the active, it's the verb form of the word chag. Chag is a circle. Mechuga is the thing that forms circles. It's a tool that's made, that makes circles. Uva mechuga yeta'oreyu.
Like an awl, like something that's going to make a point, or something that's going to make a, like inscribe a circle. Like four outer circles?
I think going with the yeta'oreyu vasered, which was a way of drawing what you're going to cut, I imagine, I don't have a clear picture of what the word mechuga is, but I think, I'm thinking more like a protractor, something that you draw a circle with.
This is something to draw, not something to actually make the circle.
Again, because of the word yeta'oreyu. So the word yeta'oreyu means you're drawing the shape you're going to cut. So I'm imagining that a mechuga is an instrument used to draw the circle more than cut the circle. A compass, right? Something like that. They knew how to use a string like a compass.
What's that thing called?
This is for 4,000 years.
What's that thing called in math? You got like one, and then you draw a circle
around
it.
It's
also called a compass.
Yeah. So their compasses, I think, were made of strings. You know, you put a string here, you extend the string there, and you did that. Vayaseyu kitavnit ish. And then he makes the idol in the form of man. Ketiferet adam lashevet bayit. He makes it in the form of the glorious man to sit at home. What is the glorious man? Who can guess? What's the glorious man? What's the glory of man? You won't believe what it is.
Not something so...
The glory of man is woman. Ketif eret adam, the glorious of man, the glorious of humanity. That's it's a way of referencing a woman. So it's as though a man takes pride in his wife. Tiferet adam, the glory of man. So that's what they made idols in the shape of women. Lashevet bayit. This idol is going to sit at home. Lichrot lo arazim. The Navi describes he will cut wood, cedar trees. Lichrot lo arazim. He says, you have another person who wants to make an idol, so he's going to cut down the biggest cedar trees. Vayikach tirza ve'alon. Some people take the tirza tree, which is a tree that has no fruit, it just gives you wood, or an alon tree, another type of tree that only gives wood. Vayametz lo batzeyar, and he strengthens it with other wood of the forest. Nata oren v'geshem yigadel. He plants the oren tree and geshem yigadel. And the only thing it produces is the physical. There's nothing here but the physical body that grows. So Hashem says, I'm growing the tree. You didn't grow it. And now you're going to use it. Man uses the tree as firewood. Man uses part of the tree to heat up his house. Part of the tree you're going to use to heat up your oven and bake your bread. Part of that same tree you'll make into God and bow to it. You make it into an idol, and now suddenly that part of the tree is worth bowing to. Half of that same tree you burnt in the fire. Part of that tree you used to roast your meat. It roasts your roast, and you're satiated from it. So you sit in the house. The Navi is describing the following scene. You're sitting in the house. Your fireplace has one piece of the log. Your oven has another piece of the log. Your roast has another piece of the log. And the final piece of the log you bow to and say, oh, that's my God. So the Navi is saying it's all one piece of tree. Chetzio basar yochel yitzletzali veyisma. Part of it is used to eat meat, to roast your roast. You warm up your house and you say, wow, that's great. It's so great, I have such a hot fire heating up my house. You sit there enjoying the log burning. Well, that the next piece of that log, you're calling God. And the leftover piece of the wood, you make it into your God, that's your idol. He bows to it. He prostrates himself before it and prays to it. And you say to that piece of wood, please save me. You are my God. These people don't know. They don't understand, says the Navi. Don't you realize this piece of wood has no knowledge? It has no understanding. Their eyes are shut. They're not seeing you. Their heart doesn't even perceive you. A person doesn't stop to think for a minute. Dat velo tivuna lemor. Why don't people stop and think to themselves? Chetio sarafti v'moesh. Half of that same log I'm bowing to, I just burnt in the fire. Ve'af afiti al gechalav lechem. I cooked on some of the coals from that log. I cooked my bread. Etz levasar ve'ochel. I roasted my meat and I ate. Ve'yitro le'toiva e'ese levul etz eskod. People should think, wait, the remaining wood I'm going to make into a god and I'll bow to it? That doesn't make sense. So that's the Navi's argument against the people. And so the Navi says, when you're shepherding something which will be afer, which will ultimately be dust, you see that part of the wood is already dust. Now you're watching over this god, which will ultimately be dust. Levutalitau, a foolish heart is misleading him. Velo yatzil et nafsho, velo yomar, and he doesn't save himself. The same craftsman who makes the idol doesn't save himself and say, Halo sheker bimini. You know, I'm using my skill to develop something that's a lie. That's a very hard thing to say. So the Navi says, why don't people stop and realize that what they're doing is worthless, is pointless? The Navi gave a very vivid picture of the logical argument against idol worship. The Navi says, the craftsman doesn't stop and say to himself, I'm lying, I'm conning people. When people come and they see the final product, they buy an idol that looks very impressive. The Navi says, look at the history of that idol. How could you bow to it? So that's what we've learned today. This piece needs more work because we learned this with Rashi's Pshat. Those of you who recall, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, we learned the Ran that takes a totally different approach to paganism and idol worship, and we would have to research how the Ran would interpret the psukim we just learned, but for now we're learning Rashi on Yeshayah.